And start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
We're on with the morning show today from WRCO Radio. Today, we're on the topic of dementia and Alzheimer's. Pam Kohlberg, dementia care specialist, is here. Chris Gerber, he's a specialist in a lot of different avenues.
You know that.
He's here today as well. Good to see you, Chris.
Good to see you, Phil. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
And good to have you on, Pam. It's been a little while.
Yeah, good morning.
We've had you on a few times, of course, talking about this subject, but seems like things are always changing in the field.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of something new because I don't want people to get tired of it because it's a really important issue. But I think there's a lot of developments, and I'm really impressed that Chris is going to do a Alzheimer's Association fundraiser because they're doing phenomenal things. It's a really fast-growing field. They're looking at new medicines. They're looking at new ways to detect it. So there's a lot. This is a field that's growing really quickly.
Probably the first question people have, what's the difference between Alzheimer's and dementia?
Yeah, and we were just talking about that. I think you have to think about it as kind of like cancer. You know, prostate cancer is very different than breast cancer. Or, you know, there's different kinds of cancer because it's different parts of the body. Well, the same way with dementia. Dementia is like an umbrella term. It's just it can be any different kind of disease. So Alzheimer's is only one kind of disease that fits kind of the outside of the brain. But there's frontotemporal disease. There's Lewy body. Parkinson's can sometimes lead to dementia. So it's what part of the brain, just like cancer is what kind of the body gets affected. And so that changes it. If you have Alzheimer's, you can't think of words. You have trouble, you know, maybe finding things or time and space. But if it's a different kind, like frontal temporal dementia, you don't have any trouble with memory. You know, you're fine, but you might have trouble with impulse control. So, or, you know, figure out how to process something. Or, you know, so every different kind has a different kind of behaviors that come with it and different kind of issues. And so just think of it like different kinds of cancer. And I think that people do get confused, like the fundraiser we're doing with Alzheimer's Association. Well, the Alzheimer's Association deals with all kinds of dementia. They just happen to pick the name. And the reason Alzheimer's is known so well, or that's the name you think of, is that 70% of the time, it was the most known. It's the one that is more likely to be that your grandmother would have, or, you know, it takes 10 or 15 years. So it's the most known and the most prevalent, but by no means are we finding out it's the only kind. And so now we're noticing that people have kind of dementia when they're in their 50s. They can have it, you know, different kind of effects. And so they're just kind of getting more details about it. And that's where, so the Alzheimer's Association will always tell you it's not just about that. But that's the primary focus because that's the one that people know the most.
Chris, why is this a pet project of yours?
Well, my mom, I lost mom in August to Alzheimer's. So, again, like Pam said, everybody that I've talked to has said, well, she has dementia, you know, or they have Alzheimer's. Well, my mom, who had Alzheimer's, and we confirmed that was her idea was if she got dementia, count her dead. But now with Alzheimer's, it's not so bad. Even though really it was quite opposite for her. We saw the decline so fast. But I think it's just educating people that we're all under the same thing here, that if dementia and then, like Pam and I were talking earlier, my thing is now that I've started, and we'll talk about this later, is my tournament fundraiser, is that I'm getting approached more and more by people that have had family members and everything else go down the line. But I think also that it's becoming more prevalent because it's not just, oh, Uncle Joe, he had memory problems when he was, you know, he's always done that. He's always called people by a different name. And we hold off on not getting treatment or testing done to try to slow things down to where we can enjoy our families more and more and our memories more and more.
Talking about your mother, how long did she have Alzheimer's?
Well, we just had this discussion out there with Pam and I, too. And Pam and I have had numerous discussions since Mom and I, you know, went down this road. And if we look back, like my wife, Roxanne, if we look back, she mentioned even probably 08, she saw signs. So we're talking 16 years. But it's also getting family members on board to justify taking mom in, and also getting my mom, who was a very strong-willed, independent woman, to go get tested. Because then if we get tested and we get results we don't want. So then I had to wait for the decline, which is also hard. So if we can get people in and get them tested early and try to get, like Pam said, there's numerous medications now and numerous things to come out to help people to get their livelihood to kind of level out and to be with family more. But yeah, mom, we figure probably 08, but she didn't get diagnosed till 2020, and we lost her in 2024. So in 4 years, we went from her driving, her being on her own, her in her own house, to off the rails. I mean, it was pretty wild to watch how fast. And as a son, and then I became the guardian as well, just, it's a very, you think you're okay with everything going down the process because you've just, you're at the end, you're like, okay, now I can, we can have peace because we're not having to worry about phone calls. But that's where it's coming from for me, is just my drive. I made a promise to mom at the end that I was going to do whatever I could to bring Alzheimer's to the forefront. Grace does a great job with cancers, does a great job with all of those. But if you look around for Alzheimer's fundraising, there's not a whole lot. And if you watch around, it's the one big thing for me is there's no survivors. There isn't anybody that says, oh, I've survived that diagnosis. Where there are with cancer, there are with other things, but Alzheimer's, there is no survival rate. And that is the big thing for me, is where can we go from there to make it happen?
Yeah, you say that, and I went through a journey with my mother with dementia. But I think those of us that are left behind, you know, we suffer from that. I mean, it takes its toll. It's a lot. You mentioned phone calls. I would, every time the phone would ring and her name would show up, I'd be like, uh-oh, what's going on now? You know,
right.
I mean, you kind of suffer through those things too.
Well, and thank gosh I have, you know, I've been in the area a long time, so a lot of people know me, but I'd have, you know, I had Craig Huth one day call me and say, Chris, I think I saw your mom. I said, you couldn't have saw my mom. Well, she had it figured out. She was still smart enough to figure out the rotation at Harvest to when somebody might not check her. She could get out the door quick, and she had her blanket with her, but she went to all the homes where she grew up, expecting to see those people there.
Oh.
She was looking for all her high school friends while we sat at this fire pit with all our bicycles, or because my grandfather built 14 homes here in Richland Center back when my mom was young. So mom would go visit those places, and that's where people would find her, or else walking through the park to where my brother lived on the other side. But mom just was smart enough to do that, but the memory had affected her not to get back or be able to understand that she couldn't do that anymore.
Hey, you bring up an interesting point, too. The community helps out in a lot of ways sometimes, too.
Oh, and you know, with local law enforcement, of course, I have ties with that. But Lauren, Mo, those all with Project Lifesaver, which I would love to talk with Pam on, too, is we'll talk about here, too, is a key vital thing for Alzheimer's and dementia patients, especially if you have them in a nursing, assisted living care, is Project Lifesaver is huge. So we don't have those phone calls like you've had too, where, oh boy, what are we talking about now? And especially with my mom's wandering tendencies, I had no idea. So that's why she ended up in a locked facility, because I had to have that. Well, there's nothing around here for that either, which I would love to work on too, and work on government bills as far as, like, there's many things I could talk about. I could talk an hour on just the things I go through with my wife being the manager of ADRC and the hurdles I had to personally jump over, because once they found out she was the manager of ADRC, all the social workers and everybody at ADRC are locked out of my mom's account. The only people you could go through is Capital Consortium with Medicare, Medicaid, because of conflict of interest.
Oh. But I think it's interesting that you say that there's no survivors. And I think what we forget is that this disease affects the caregivers and the family members. So it's not only like, you know, what your mom's going through, but it's impacting you. The phone calls, the strange behavior. What I'd like to see is, I think there's awareness out there. I think people know about it because they hear about it, but they're terrified of it. And you mentioned the state. I mean, I went to legislators and each one of them had a family member. So there's a lot of things in Wisconsin that help people, like caregivers and stuff because the people are aware of it, but they're afraid of it. And the fear is what drives people not to get tested, not realizing that naming a disease, saying what you had, like you said, you knew your mom probably had something wrong for years, but you weren't able to name it until like 4 years ago. And that explains a lot. Okay, she has this. Maybe I can give her some slack. Maybe I won't try and expect the same things I did of her. Once people have a diagnosis, or they at least know that something's going on, I think they're maybe kinder to the caregivers, hopefully, and maybe a little more adjusting to the person. But there's such a fear around the word. They say people fear the word dementia more than death or cancer. And it's that because people change. But if once you learn it, you realize it's not a death sentence. This person can't think the same, right? Their mind's been scrambled. They can't find their way home, but they can still enjoy life. I mean, you still did some incredible things with your mom.
Oh, I had many numerous times, but to go back on that, Pam, with the Alzheimer dementia thing, when we got mom tested in 2020, when we were talking around the round table with the doctors and everybody else, and we've mentioned the word dementia, mom says, I can't have dementia. I'll die. I'll be just dead. I'll be okay with Alzheimer's if they come back with Alzheimer's. Okay. We went with that avenue just to keep her calm, because right. Once you mentioned dementia to her, it was a death sentence to her. Right. Even in her mind, in the way it was like, oh, Alzheimer's is okay. I'll be okay there.
Right.
But dementia, no, absolutely not. So all the doctors, anytime when they would slip up, mom would go off the rails with the dementia thing. But then she would be fine if people just mentioned Alzheimer's.
Well, and I think it's because people think of Alzheimer's as older age. It's different than normal aging. You know, normal aging, you're going to have some memory. But people are so afraid of losing memory. We're so tied to what memory is. And sometimes I'm like, so you forget somebody's name. You ask them what it is. You forget where you're going. You know, like a lot of losing memory is kind of, you know, funny, or you just laugh it off, or we all go through. I mean, I just passed the 60-year mark. It's kind of funny all the things that happen and you laugh it off. But when somebody gets a disease from it, then let's really look at it. It's not usually just memory. It's also not being able to do things you used to do. It's not being able to find ways home, like think backwards. And so we want to protect those people. We want to be a village that kind of allows people to live at home, because people can live at home for, as long as, for most of the disease. And it's usually only the final year that somebody goes to a facility or whatever. So we want to say, okay, what's the quality of life? Now that I can name it, I have a name for what's going on. I know I'm going to expect phone calls, over and over. I know this person's not going to be able what to do. Well, so then how can I have a quality of life? How can my family learn to be more in the moment, right? And be with me in a way that feels good rather than, constantly correcting me when there's no way I can do what I used to do. And so to me, kind of the survivors, the people we really need to focus on are some of the caregivers, what you go through from the strange things, or people finding them, out wandering, or, losing their filter and saying all kinds of stuff, or not remembering somebody's names of the grandkids. I'm like, does it really matter? I forget the names. So how can we make quality of life? Let's stop fearing it and pretending it doesn't exist. Let people get diagnosed, and then they have a plan. And one of the big things we want to talk about today is that long-term care planning. When people are so afraid and they don't fill out their power of attorney for healthcare, or they don't prepare, with a bank or whatever, when people don't do those things, crisis comes quickly, and you can avoid crisis by having things in place. And that's the thing that I see, sadly, is people haven't prepared. And so suddenly a big change happens quickly, and they don't have things in place to handle it. And so we want to be kind to those caregivers and realize that they're kind of going through a heavy load. At the same time, we want people to prepare, because once you know what something is, you can kind of deal with it better. And I think people, the more we talk about this, that's why I really appreciate Chris having this fundraiser and talking to people. Maybe it'll have more conversations, and then we can say, okay, so this thing exists, just like Grace did, right? Cancer exists. So what can we do to help people? How can we raise money? How can we give people the strength to be survivors, right? That's the wonderful thing, right? Around that disease, they've really put supports in. Well, let's do that now for people who are going through dementia. They have no choice. And let's realize it isn't an old person's disease, right? I know people who have what's called early onset. They're in their 50s, still raising kids at home, and yet they've gotten this disease, and they're going to need extra supports. That there are many different kinds. It happens at different ages, and it hits people differently. So once we can sort of get beyond that, well, you know, I don't have this, but I have that. Once we can talk about it, then we can make, you know, we can live in a community that's more supportive. And that's what I did want to mention. You mentioned about Project Lifesaver and how awesome, like, our law enforcement is in this area. I just found out recently the police are going ahead to get what's called Purple Angel training. So they're going to be better respond. And the sheriff's office is getting trained in dementia. I do, I've trained banks in the community. There's some businesses around that I'm going to train so that when people are dealing with you know, scenarios where somebody's out wandering, whatever, they're going to know how to handle it instead of, because if you respond in a not caring way to somebody with dementia, they're more likely to run, they're more likely to get agitated. And I would like to say people with dementia don't get violent, they get agitated, because what we're doing is we don't realize we're setting off the disease that's making them get angry quickly. So if we learn how not to sort of set off an episode, right, then that person more likely might come with us. We might like more likely come home. So I really do want to congratulate the community, like the police are getting the special training, the sheriffs. We want to celebrate that, but more people need that. You know, all the banks need to know, because there's financial scams that are happening. So once the community can sort of admit that it's happening and talk about it, like Chris is saying, then we can really have a conversation that's going to help people.
You have a support group. In fact, you're meeting later today with the Aging Disability Resource Center of Eagle Country. And I know you do that a couple of times a month, but it's later this morning, isn't it?
Yeah, actually, the fourth Tuesdays we have, it's a support group for any kind of caregiver, but it is mostly people with dementia. And the idea is that people need to talk about what's going on. I don't think support groups, you know, it's not therapy. You're not like bearing your soul or whatever. But people need to say, oh my gosh, the weirdest thing just happened to me. Or can you believe this has happened? They need to be able to talk about it, to state how they're frustrated, to laugh about it, to talk to other people going through the same thing. And so we have this awesome group on fourth Tuesdays. I also have a group that meets online first Mondays. There's one up in Soldiers Grove. There's one in Prairie du Chien. There's a fair amount of support groups. And that's one thing that Alzheimer's Association, that we're going to raise funds for, they do. They have a lot of online supports. And some of it, what is nice is that they have support groups, not just for somebody with dementia, but specifically Lewy body or specifically frontal temple. Because every kind of dementia shows differently, right? The way people act is different. And so you want to find, you know, people who know about your specific kind of dementia. And the other thing is that I'm just starting new, I'm glad you brought up, is that the people with dementia are real people, right? They're not people that are crazy. They're not somebody who's gotten old and doesn't know what they're doing. People with dementia are real people, and they want to be included. They want to have in-depth conversations. They don't want to be shunned by their friends or their family. They want to still participate in life. So I'm starting a group. I've met a couple of people who really want to talk to other people going through the same thing. So there's going to be a support for people living with dementia to talk about it, because they equally are having a hard experience. They're being people are reacting. If people knew what they have, they're reacting differently. So they're afraid to talk about it. I mean, there's nothing sad about somebody who has a serious disease and suddenly they can't tell people because they're afraid of it. So people with dementia need to also have support. And so there'll be a support group for that. So let's remember that these are still people and that they have lives and they want to be involved and they want to keep doing things. When you get the dementia diagnosis, you shouldn't shut down. That's going to make your disease worse. If you stay at home and you get depressed, or you stay on the couch, or you don't leave your house, that is going to make your disease harder. It's going to make it worse. So you have to stay involved in church. You still have to go out. So we want to think about also not only how to support the people taking care of them, but the people who have the disease, who still can live a full life.
Recently, there was a note on the news about some breakthroughs in medication and drugs, and I think it was happening right here in the state. But have you heard anything about that, Pam?
Yeah, UW-Madison is known internationally around the world as being one of the biggest research centers. In fact, if people want to get involved in research, that's one of the things the Alzheimer's Association does, because we have one of the longest longitudinal studies about studying people before they even get the disease. And so there is so much going on with, they have now a different drugs that get rid of the amyloid, which is a certain kind of, that's what makes the disease of Alzheimer's. But unfortunately, those drugs only help that kind of dementia, the Alzheimer's. You know, there's different drugs that help people with Parkinson's or whatever. So they still need to find other medications. So there is a new drug. There's, you know, it's still going through the process to make it affordable and all that kind of thing. But that means they're finding other stuff, too. They're soon, pretty soon, going to come out with a blood test that diagnoses people. They're finding out how things like gut bacteria help you. There is so much on the cutting edge, and one of the main places is UW-Madison. And they work hand-in-hand with the Alzheimer's Association, and that's where the money goes. It goes towards research. It goes towards creating these supports. But it's a pretty, as far as the science of it, it's a pretty exciting time for what they're discovering. And so, yes, people are going to hear about this new kind of medication, but we're also learning a lot more about the brain and brain health and things that can prevent it, right? So it's really important that people know how being heart healthy affects your brain. About sleep is incredibly important, good sleep. All these things that are preventative are as important as the medicine, right? Now we know, you know, that there's all kinds of lifestyle factors. I teach a class called Boost Your Brain and Memory, that there's a lot you can do that prevents it and that can help even when somebody has dementia, that can help slow the disease. So there's medicines that slow it down if you get the diagnosis in time, but a lot of these things only help you when you first get the diagnosis. So there's a lot of medicines that can help slow it down, but there's a lot of like lifestyle, you know, ways you stay healthy that can slow down the disease too.
With your mother, then you said you had a hard time getting her into the doctor to talk about this, and I think that's similar for a lot of people. Chris is just not wanting to go, not wanting to admit maybe there's something going on. Right?
Yeah, and I think we need to come up with, you know, a better way to describe it. Kind of like you're going into just an exam, kind of like your physical that you go as a lady or a male that you go in for your normal exam. You know, oh, you're going in for your yearly physical or whatever. And like Pam says, I mean, of course, I'm a stroke survivor, too, so that happened at a very young age. I was only 43, so we're starting to see Alzheimer's and things affecting, like Pam said, younger as well, or dementia younger as well. So is it something that we can describe to our parents or that generation as, oh, hey, we're just going to do this test. And, you know, it's not so much a dementia. We're just wanting to test things out to see where we're at and do those to where all of a sudden they don't hear those words to trigger, I don't want to do that test. I don't want to have that bad thing come back. You know, it's kind of like when you go in for a scan when they find a tumor or anything. Well, this one, there's nothing that they're even finding so far. They're just looking. Right. So is there a way we can do to draw the clock, to do the name recalls, to just get a general baseline early, and then later on we become more and more educated as we take our parents in for their physical for that year. Hey, Dad, you got to have that physical, you know. So then we get tested and see if there's any differences from the year to year or 2 years or whatever it may be. Hey, the first year looked really good, so now maybe we don't have to do it for 2 years. We're not sure. But I'm looking at my mom who, yeah, she was very, but I didn't have the knowledge I have now. You know, I was battling through trying to get my left hand and everything else to work for part of it and to do all that. I just didn't have the knowledge. Thank God I came across Pam and I came across all of these knowledge things now to really start to learn. And unfortunately for me, it's a hard part for me as I sit and go, how did I not help more? What could I have done earlier to make this last longer to where she'd have saw her grandkids now? And she's got now extra grandkids she doesn't really remember. So how could we have possibly tested sooner instead of just saying, oh, that's mom. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just her behavior. And she didn't remember us kids, and she couldn't put them in order. Or like I was telling Pammy, she called me for 10 years at 3 o'clock every day. Hey, Chris, what are you up to? Well, my work schedule never changed. I was at work at 3 o'clock every day. But she just called me every day. So I, at that time, I'm like, oh, that's just Mom. But at the time, was she really struggling to remember? And we never had those conversations. And the part that I really struggle with is siblings, is making sure all of us not saying, oh, it's just Mom, or no, you're reading into things. I was the one here 24/7 for a lot of part of that. My brother then came from Hawaii and moved in. And then he started to really see it. But as I was trying to describe it to them, who lived in three different states at the time, of what Mom, they're like, Chris, Mom did that the whole time. Mom's done that. It's just Mom. And I'm like, no, there's, you're missing these key factors. And you're missing, because I was around her 24/7. And then, so that's the other thing is we all have to, like, we can't be afraid. I think that was part of our whole problem, too, is we were afraid, what are they really going to find? And unfortunately, we know what we found in 2020.
Mm-hmm. And then as a person in your situation, too, it's scary for you, too, to know, like, what do we do next? Are we doing the right thing or the wrong thing? And yeah, then possibly other family, outlying family members judge you like, oh, I don't know. Maybe
I was nine when Mom became a single mom. And
yeah,
she was my rock for, you know, my bowling coach. She was my catcher in Little League. I mean, I didn't have a catcher that wanted to practice, so she'd make me do it, and she'd put the mitt on and do all of that. And she was just that strong, independent woman that said, I'm going to prove it, and you're going to be a kid that plays sports. I'm going to help you do it. And she'd catch footballs and do all that. So, yeah, and she was my bowling coach. And, you know, I coached her. And then it's just those things that you start watching. And then, like I was telling Pam, too, is at the very end, when you start seeing the behaviors get out of hand, you go, when you finally, I was with her when she passed. Personally, I was with her, just it was her and I sitting in her room when she passed. And you go, a deep breath of, okay, there won't be any more of those phone calls. But now when you're done, you wish there were so many more phone calls.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, you want those phone, even if they didn't make any sense. I mean, Roxanne, it's Corey. She has a recording on her phone, a voicemail from my mom, crystal clear, about a year ago, a year and a half ago. Crystal clear, somewhat, but it didn't make any sense. But at least it was there. It was probably 2 years now, because after that, she couldn't use the phone even. I mean, there's so many tools out there for that, too, that people really need to look into.
Yes.
You know, big button phones or pictures with, you can put your kid's picture in there for just that button for them to call. But yeah, it's when you lose that rock and you lose that stability, no matter what you watch them go through, it's really hard. I mean, yeah, if I'd have lost her in a traffic accident when she was going through it or something like that, it would have been terrible. But it's just as bad now. I mean, you've lost your mom, and you go Thanksgiving now. And I mentioned that today. I'm doing a podcast. I do a Facebook thing, and it goes on YouTube on my own as a project for my mom. But it's coming into the holiday season now. And, you know, lefse making was always a big thing of Mom. And we'd get together and make lefse. And she's Norwegian, of course, and we did all of that. And her birthday is the day after Christmas. So it's kind of like all of these things coming up together. And you go, what could I have done to make her more peaceful? Because I know at the end it wasn't peaceful. I know it wasn't her, and I know she didn't understand. But I could, the motions and all the jitteriness and all of that, it's not peaceful. I can't believe it is anyway. Maybe yeah. I'm wrong.
Well, no, and it's hard because it's patience for yourself as well as for her. I mean, she got pretty squirrely and agitated or whatever. But to give yourself grace, I think that's something really important with caregivers. I mean, you talked about siblings. I mean, families have to understand so you don't feel like you're beating your head against the wall. You know, caregivers need a lot of patience. That this is a really emotional disease. I think anybody getting a serious disease is emotional for the family, but there's so much shame, you know, kind of tied in that people, I think, really go through a lot of emotional changes that are different. So it's patience for the caregiver, but it's also patience for her. I mean, I think you really did well with, like, kind of being in the moment, kind of accepting, you know, the strange things she said, or, letting her be, you know, say odd things and not reacting to it. That kind of stuff is. So I see caregivers needing a little more patience for themselves, as well as us being a little more patient with the people with dementia. Yeah. I did want to say, you said, what are some of the things we can do? I do think it's important that people get, like you said, yearly checks. At the ADRC, you can get memory screens done as kind of a baseline to see if there's changes. And sometimes it's something else. You can't always fear dementia. Maybe it's just you're having a change for a different reason. And I think I see a lot of people with neurological problems that aren't dementia related, but they're so afraid of the dementia that they don't get checked for the other things that could be treatable. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of books that the ADRC gives out. Because there's a particular book about siblings and when each sibling sees the disease differently and kind of pushes against each other. Think of all the family stress you go through when one sibling doesn't believe what the other one's saying, or, you know, it doesn't have to be so hard if we all get on the same page.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at today's news.
Work hard to plant and harvest on time, Jason will work just as hard to get your crops from the field to where they need to go. Kleppe Grain Service, it's the best choice. Call 608-604-5803.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
News time at 6:30 is sponsored by Bailey Paint and Decorating, your full-line Benjamin Moore dealer with quality paint and expert advice, and by Chet's Feed Seed and Such, the friendly feed store. Today, high temperatures expected to reach around 36 degrees, partly to mostly cloudy skies, and then tonight a few clouds and chilly, 21, 30 for the high predicted for tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day.
Well, it's about time. Time for a blind date. That's right, a blind date with Steve, Bailey Paint Decorating's blind man. Steve takes the stress out of fitting new window treatments by handling all the measuring and installation. Whether it's cellular, pleated, roller, or solar blinds, new window treatments will give your home a fresh look. And for a limited time, receive a free cordless lift upgrade on select Graber shades. Make a blind date today. Visit Bailey Paint Decorating on Court Street, downtown Richland Center.
I'm Phil Neve for WRCO News. A bad day for school buses in Wisconsin yesterday. A school bus drove into the front of a house in Holman yesterday morning, injuring one person inside the home. Police are still trying to determine the cause of that crash. Across the state in Racine County, a school bus crossing a highway failed to yield to traffic and was struck by another car. The bus flipped over and ended up in a pond. There were no injuries in that crash. No children were inside either bus at the time of the crashes. Current president and CEO Eric Borgerding is set to retire next year and be replaced by the WHA's senior vice president of government relations, Kyle O'Brien. Borgerding has worked at WHA for 23 years, the last 10 as CEO. He will retire on June 30th. O'Brien will be the organization's seventh leader in its 104-year history. WHA says Borgerding worked to increase the number of doctors and nurses in the state, while also overhauling Wisconsin's hospital regulations for a more efficient and cost-effective operation. O'Brien has been with WHA for 12 years. Preliminary numbers show a slight decrease in harvest numbers over the opening weekend of the gun deer hunt. Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources deer program specialist Jeff Pritzel says the late start to the season may have played a factor. Pritzel says 89,203 deer were harvested during opening weekend, compared to 90,831 a year ago. The DNR did say there were no firearm-involved hunting incidents reported during the opening weekend, compared to two during last year's opening weekend. UW-Madison improves a research ranking. The university is now sixth out of 920 public and private American universities in research expenditures, according to annual rankings from the National Science Foundation. UW-Madison had rated eighth since 2018. For the first time, the UW topped $1.7 billion in research expenditures. Nearly half of UW-Madison's research expenditures comes from federal awards
grants from agencies such as the National Science Foundation, the National Institutes of Health, and Department of Defense. Conditions have reportedly improved at Wisconsin's youth prisons. The Wisconsin Department of Corrections says the federal monitor at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake schools noted an improvement in staff and resident attitudes, as well as fewer safety concerns following the death of a counselor earlier this year. The state was forced to look at staffing issues and how residents were being treated after the death of Corey Prue. Two teens are charged in his death. The monitor found that despite the incident, the two facilities saw overall improvement this past quarter, with fewer complaints about safety from both staff and residents. A Madison man who took part in a deadly shooting last summer is headed to prison. 19-year-old Julius Jones pleaded guilty this summer to reckless homicide in the 2023 gang shooting of 20-year-old Nicholas Taylor Washington. He was sentenced on Tuesday to 15 years in prison. Prosecutors say Jones and two other men shot Taylor Washington outside a party for being a member of a rival gang. Jones originally faced intentional homicide before taking a deal. The 13th annual Richland Center Rotary Lights in the Park begins tonight at Kroska Park. You can experience the splendor of the show each night through New Year's. The exhibit will be open each night with walkthroughs from 6 until 6:50 and drive-through from 7 until 9. However, please note, new this year, the first three Mondays, December 2nd, 9th, and 16th, will be drive-through only. Also, Santa and Mrs. Claus will be on hand every Friday and Saturday. Parking for the Richland Center Rotary Lights is located at North Park. Participants can enter by crossing the well-lit footbridge. Admission is free. However, a donation of a food item to the Richland Community Food Pantry or money to support Rotary Lights in the Park project is appreciated. Despite the impending closure of the historic community staple, officials say tours of Leinenkugel's Brewery in Chippewa Falls will continue. The brewery will officially be shut down in January as Molson Coors moves production to their main facility in Milwaukee, leaving over 50 workers without jobs. Even though the brewery will no longer be operating as it has for years, the Liney Lodge still plans to offer tours of the facility that have become a major tourist draw. The brewery has been part of the Chippewa Falls community for over 150 years. There is a change coming in the leadership of Wisconsin-based retailer Kohl's. CEO Tom Kingsbury will leave his position in mid-January. Kingsbury became interim CEO at the Menominee Falls-based company in 2022 before being installed in that position permanently. Kohl's named current CEO of arts and crafts retailer Michaels, Ashley Buchanan, to replace Kingsbury. Buchanan was previously a senior executive at Walmart and Sam's Club for 13 years before taking the helm at Michaels in 2020. Kingsbury will take an advisory role for Kohl's until he retires in May.
Hello, friends. Ellie here from Chet's. Are you looking for a place to get feed for all of your furry friends? Well, look no further. At Chet's Feed, Seed, and Such, we have premium feeds for cattle, hogs, horses, sheep, and even rabbits. We carry many of the best brands to keep your animals happy and healthy. We also have chicken, feed, and scratch. But don't worry, we still have our huge selection of premium cat and dog foods as well. Chet's is your one-stop shop for all of your animal feed needs. Stop down and chat with us today at 880 North Orange Street or give us a call at 608-647-8833. Without you, there wouldn't be us.
A high of 36 today, partly to mostly cloudy conditions. East to northeast winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. A few clouds and chilly tonight, a low of 21. Thanksgiving Day, a high of 30. Some morning sun and clouds filling in. A touch breezy and cooler. Thursday night, breezy and cold with stray flurries possible. A low of 16. Friday, 23 and partly sunny. North to northwest winds at 2 miles per hour currently after a midnight reading of 25 that followed yesterday's high of 33. Right now it is 20 degrees.
Attention Medicare D patients. The 2025 Medicare D renewal period has started. Need help reviewing your drug plan options? Stop by Center Pharmacy or Boscobel Pharmacy. Even if you're not a current customer, they'll guide you through all the changes for 2025 and help you find the best plan for your needs. Center and Boscobel Pharmacies are here to help you navigate Medicare D, because with them, you're not just a patient, you're formally. Visit today for your personalized review.
Hi, Travis with Wirtz Floor and Home. Want to improve your sleep quality? Maybe a mattress with a built-in cooling cover is just what you need from American Bedding that is made right here in Wisconsin. Stop down to our newly remodeled showroom and see why we have quickly become Spring Green's largest mattress dealer. With over a dozen mattresses on display, our expert staff will assist you in finding the perfect mattress to give you a quality night's sleep. Located on Highway 14 next to the Ring Brothers.
Sports Time is sponsored by the Richland Hospital, specializing in rural health care since 1924, making a difference by caring, educating, and healing. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. We'll look back at high school sports last night. Lots of basketball action and the Bucks with a win, playing without Giannis last night.
Getting a flu shot and COVID booster doesn't just protect you. It protects everyone you come in contact with. The Richland Hospital and Clinics is currently accepting appointments for our flu and COVID vaccine clinic. Vaccines are currently available at all TRHC locations, including our Spring Green and Muscadet clinics. If you already have an appointment with your primary care provider, these vaccines can also be given at that time. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention recommends vaccines for everyone 6 months and older. Call today to schedule an appointment.
I'm Phil Nee with a look at sports. The Richland Center boys basketball team won the season opener last night, 61-44 at home against Viroqua. The win avenged two against the Blackhawks last season, including a defeat in the WIAA playoffs. The game was close until early in the second half. The Hornets led 27-24 at the break. The Blackhawks scored the first 5 points after halftime and held their last lead at 29-27. Richland Center went on an 11-0 run and never trailed after that. Sophomore Jaden Shep had 19, including 4 3-pointers, and senior Wes Bosworth had 19 from the low post. Senior Trayton Shep had 10 points, and senior Garrison Weiss, 9 last night. Junior Liam Fingerson with 4 points. Viroqua was paced by senior Benson McDowell, who had a game-high 20 points, including 3 3-point baskets. The Richland Center JV1 team played Hillsboro last night and lost to the Tigers 43-38 in the earlier game at the Fieldhouse. The Richland Center boys will have some practice time in preparation for a road trip to Sauk Prairie next Tuesday. Viroqua prepares for league action against West Salem next week. Elsewhere yesterday, it was Royal over Ithaca, and the opener for both, 72-38 Royal. It was Mount Horeb over River Valley, 91-56. Seneca beat Riverdale, 67-30. It was Schulzberg over Boscobel, 58-49. River Ridge, 52. Fenimore, 31. Lancaster, 64-48 over Barneveld. Weston beat Wanewoc Center, 64-39. Kickapoo, 80. Cashton, 30. It was a win for Iowa Grant over Belmont, 79-70. Lafarge, 44. Brookwood, 34. Elsewhere in boys basketball from last night, it was a victory for Wisconsin Heights over Richland Center in girls hoops, 38-17. Potosi-Cassville, 57-47 over River Valley. Riverdale girls winning over North Crawford, 44-37. Lancaster, 52. Darlington, 30. Platteville, 58. New Glarus, 53. Schulzberg over Dodgeville, 64-36. Cuba City, 65. Belmont, 55. Cashton beat Viroqua by the final of 55-22 in girls basketball. DeSoto over La Crescent, 62-37. Reedsburg, 55. Wisconsin Rapids, 52. Also, Mauston, 57. GET, 9. The Bucks were able to run their winning streak to 5 straight Tuesday night, even though they were playing without Giannis Antetokounmpo. They were able to dig deep. 37 points by Damian Lillard powered Milwaukee to a 106-103 victory at Miami. Lillard connected on 8 of 13 three-pointers, and the Bucks were 20 of 42 as a team. The Heat were good on just 10 of 29. The team found out an hour before game time that Giannis Antetokounmpo would not be in the lineup. He had some swelling around his knee. Brooke Lopez talked about what they do when they find out news such as that.
We all know that collectively we have to step up as a unit. Individually, you got to step up. And it's just time to be ready. So we know what the job is. It's still the same assignment. We're all pros here. We know what to do.
The decision keeps Milwaukee alive in the NBA's in-season tournament. Elsewhere, the Bulls 127, Washington 108, Houston won in overtime over Minnesota 117-111, San Antonio over Utah 128-115, Phoenix 127, and the Lakers 100. Number 1 Kansas beat number 11 Duke 75-72 in college basketball. So far this season, the Marquette Golden Eagles are very good at stealing the basketball. Coach Shaka Smart's team is sixth in the country with an average of more than a dozen steals per game. The team will take on Stonehill tonight at Fiserv Forum. And this isn't the first cold rodeo for Green Bay fans. They will need to wear their winter coats when the Miami Dolphins take the field for Thursday night football at Lambeau Field. The National Weather Service says the temperature will hover around the freezing mark at 4 p.m., drop into the upper 20s by kickoff, and stay there the rest of the game. There are three areas in the historic stadium where fans can pause to warm up: the atrium, the U.S. Cellular Loft, and the Miller Lite End Zone Bar. That's an update on sports. I'm Phil Nee.
LS Tractors are a great tractor at a great price. Hi, I'm Rick from the Homesteader Store. The fastest growing tractor line in Wisconsin is LS Tractor, part of the LG group of companies. These high quality four-wheel drive diesel tractors are one of the best values in compact tractors. They have silky smooth hydrostatic transmissions. They offer great financing. You can go to our website where you can watch a short video where I go through the different sizes of LS.
So there's a lot of resources at the EDRC I'd recommend, and there's a lot of things I think people could find through the Alzheimer's Association.
I think if you go to like Spotify or anything like that, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of things online where if you're just driving, put it on, stream it in the car, except the Vibe. I don't think that has that option, Phil.
It's a CD player.
Oh, yeah. We're out of that realm then. Sorry. Yeah. No, but you just get educated as far as that go. And then as far as family goes, you know, being named guardian is not a prize award. Let's just say that you're not the... Yes, I was the youngest and I lived in town, but it's not a role that you are hoping for ever when you're growing up to say, please put me in that role. With all the guidelines from the states and all of that stuff. And as far as siblings and stuff go, don't be jealous of that person that gets put in that role. There's a whole lot of stuff that goes on in that role.
Right. So, but I think you talked about your mother teaching you how to bowl and all those kind of things. It's a circle of life because it comes back around and you're the one taking care of her.
Yeah, and you know, thank goodness for her love of music or anything like that. The last few days was strictly sitting with the speaker on of, you know, Oak Ridge Boy gospel hymns and all of that stuff and all of Statler Brothers and things would all bring her down. The last day that I was with her was pretty much that's all we listened to was in the garden and, you know, a little talk with Jesus. That kind of stuff would bring her to where her breathing would slow down. And it was just wild to watch. Even I knew what state she was in, that it would just bring that peace over her.
Right. So you learn some techniques to kind of help.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, and ways to connect with her. And I think that's the key is how can you as a caregiver connect with that person that has a disease? And then you're going to look at that. You're remembering these precious memories. So it was a rough road, I know that. But you also have those moments and you want to be able to create those moments and savor them. But yeah, and I really admire, I think we should talk a little bit about the fundraising you're doing because it's a good cause that you're working with.
Yeah. That when we come back, we'll take a time out and come back with it. We'll talk about Marcy's Strikeout Alzheimer's. That benefit coming up soon here in our community, and we'll have more of the morning show next. On a morning show from WRCO Radio, Pam Kohlberg is here, Chris Gerber as well. And Chris, you have a fundraiser coming up here the week after this.
I do. December 7th, Saturday, at the Bowling Alley Phoenix Center. Marcy's Strikeout Alzheimer's Baker Shootout. So it's the Marcy Strikeout Alzheimer's is the name of the tournament. I will have shirts there for sale. You'll have one to wear, Phil.
Oh,
I got you one.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, and thank you for having us on. But yeah, I've got, I believe, 45 sponsors total. Silent auctions stuff from Chasson Smoke. I've got a rocket stove. It's $300 somewhere in there that'll be on the silent auction. I've got golf packages from Prairie du Chien, Quail Run, Rutgers up where my mom and I used to work in Bay Lake, Minnesota. Strokers Dallas sent me a Rick Fairless sent me a t-shirt that's from there for the fundraiser as well. I've got PBA stuff coming. I've got a woman on the tour signed autograph cards for the silent auction. But locally, where you get your most support. I mean, I've got Badgerland Flooring, Jones Chevrolet, Anna Parks. I've got artwork. I've got a ton of stuff, bird feeders and bird seed. And it's going to be a great day. Going to have just a lot of fun. If you've never seen how a Baker tournament works, it's a four-person team. The first one bowls the first frame. They alternate frames through four bowlers, and then it starts over again. We're doing 13 games, cut down to the top seven, and then 1,000 to win. So it's a big tournament. All the money that is paid by the bowlers is going back to the bowlers and to the lanes for having the tournament, of course, for their fees. But everything I raise on silent auctions, raffles, 50-50, is all going to the Alzheimer's Foundation. So it is a public welcome. Come have a great time. Come remember my mom. Share memories with me. She was a bowler here. She bowled with Marcia Mahatka and Elma Manning were both of her teammates. They treated her so well at the end of her disease when she couldn't quite figure out which lane to bowl on. They just helped her along. And, of course, everybody knows Marcia here in town, I think, and just the calmest person to have deal with my mom. When mom couldn't remember how to bowl exactly, she would just throw the ball, whatever. But she allowed them mom's schedule. Like we were talking with Pam earlier, you have to keep them on some form of schedule. Otherwise, if I just locked her in her room, we would have declined way sooner. It was on mom's terms when she quit bowling. She said, I can't do it anymore. I don't know. I'm just done. I said, okay. But then all of a sudden, it'd be, hey, Chris, when does bowling start? Mom, it's going to be a while yet. It's going to be a while. And then she just kind of would, but I never wanted to tell her it was over because I just never wanted to cross that bridge. And I think we get caught in telling parents when they say something, oh, that's not what happened. Or we start an argument with them. In their brain, that happened. Mom would have some wild dreams. Of course, her grandson being a deputy here in town and she saw a squad car or whatever, she'd automatically think of something in trouble, somebody's hurt, you know, whatever it may be. She had no correlation, but she would have the wildest dreams of, I rode a bus, Chris, from here to there. Well, here it was probably from when she's younger, I think. And she was mixing stories together, kind of like a big stew pot, is how I'm portraying it in my head. And she would relay them out. Oh, Mom, you know, that's really cool. But I would drive to Hudson, when that's where she ended up at the final here. And I didn't know if my visit was going to be 5 minutes, 25 minutes or a half hour. I'd drive 6 hours round trip, but whatever it took. Whenever she said, Chris, I think it's time to go, I would go. I think instead of trying to stick around and be part of that and raise her anxiety levels, because if I did that, I tried it once and her behaviors went the wrong way. So I'm like, okay, when mom says it's time to go, it's time to go. And be prepared for your parents to say some very hurtful things sometimes. You know, I'm pissed off at you or whatever it may be. And it's going to come blunt and you just have to prepare yourself for that because even no matter how nice your mom was or how loving, and my mom was the lovingest mother I could have, but she got blunt and would say, I don't like you because of what you did to me and you putting me here. I'm sorry, Mom. I really am. I agree with you. It wasn't best on my decision to put you here. I'm really, really sorry. And don't start that argument because they don't know. Don't argue with that down that road. Don't go down those road. Be forgiving and try to really understand what's going on and just listen to the stories. Let them talk. You know, I got the chance to go to Hudson, like I was telling Pam. The comfort of home in Hudson takes all of the hardest clients in the state, pretty much. They are a totally locked facility, password in and out. It's wild. I mean, I've never walked into a place and where my mom, I felt, was pretty normal. I mean, we even had her toughest times, you know, and I think a lot of times kids and stuff that bring their parents there are not knowing what to expect. They're not trained real well on, well, if your parents are dressed, it's a good day. You know, your mom's not wandering around with no pants on. That's a good day. And I'm like, oh. So we're not going to argue about if pants are on backwards, inside out, sweatshirts on backwards, whatever. Right. They are dressed. We're going to call that a win. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I guess.
But you're right, Chris. So many times the kids or the family feels ashamed by what the person did. But if you had seen their brain and the connections and the things that are having trouble with, and be like, what does it matter if they're doing their hair well or doing anything else? This person is in basic survival mode, right? Their brain is scrambled. So let's give them some slack. And to not see people as crazy or, you know, cuckoo or whatever, it's like they have a brain disease. It's affecting them. So how can I come to terms as a child of somebody with a disease to kind of be accepting and realize that it might take a weird term? Like, Phil, you've talked some stories about odd things that were said or, you know, having to talk to somebody in an empty chair. Those things happen because this person's living in a dream and they can't help it. So don't get embarrassed or yelling at them or feeling shame yourself. It's like, our brain is weird and it just got stranger. And rather than say, okay, this is the disease happening and you never believe the strange thing I saw happen. But instead of feeling shame or resisting it, let's just say, okay, this is part of the disease. And so I think that's really important that people come to terms with it in a way that doesn't make them or the other person feel bad.
Mm-hmm. I felt like I was losing it a few times, and I had to cuss out somebody that wasn't there in a chair just to appease her. But, you know,
I
made her happy that I yelled at this person.
This
and told
is where
them,
the, your skills as improvisational
right.
theater.
Oh, exactly.
Right.
Or working with Henry.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. Speaking about talking to somebody that's not there in a chair.
And I think that's a big part of it, Pam. You just have to learn how to laugh.
Yeah.
You have
yes.
to learn how to do some of that. You know, I'll finish on my portion of it with my mom as being the three amigos, as I called them. My mom was the ringleader of the three, so if this will tell you where this is going. But Hudson was developed in a circle, so it was just one big circle. I'm guessing the three ladies walked 100 a day, probably 100 miles. I mean, they never sat down. Every time I talked to the workers, they would all go together. They all thought they were from Gotham or similar outlining areas. I've never met any of them in my life, but my mom swore they were all really good best friends. I'm like, Mom, it's great to meet them. You know, and they just walked. That's all they did. And as long as it was the best thing for the workers because it kept my mom, A, moving physically. Everything else was good. But the three amigos, but the last day with my mom, one of them walked in. The one was out in the hallway having a ruckus at night. She was just having a fit. The other nice one walked in and said, looked at Mom, I gotta go. She walked out. Wasn't half hour. Mom passed. Wow. But the lady was having, so all the other two that hung out with my mom nonstop for over almost a year knew.
Right.
There was something odd. Yeah. But it was also a full moon on Friday.
Yeah.
So if you ever work in a facility and people talk about a full moon, trust me, it's real.
I've heard
and
that.
That's something
I was there.
Yeah.
I know for a fact.
And there's something. We really have to appreciate the people that are willing to work.
Yes.
There's a real struggle right now with having enough people to work. But you really have to, you know, these people are living it day after day. And so if we can appreciate those workers that work in healthcare that have learned how to handle people and not, you know, set them off or whatever, you know, I think that there's a big kudos for that, for the police, the sheriff, you know, all these people who are kind of putting up with the odd behavior people we have, but learning how to do it well. And so, yeah.
So, Pam, I'm going to put it back in your court because I feel it's very, very a strong thing and I feel it's very vital is business training.
Yeah.
With my mom's wandering tendencies and with things like that, I really feel businesses need to contact you about that.
And the other thing is, we don't realize what I've learned in doing trainings for the last 8 years is that often the employer doesn't know that the people working for them, their employees, are caregivers. So you were just saying the other day how you have a great boss who's, you know, accommodating to you. But I think businesses need to realize that the people working for them are often caregivers, and they're going through the struggles that you're describing, and they're not realizing why that person is late or why that person may come to work frazzled. That we really need to appreciate that this is so common in the community that the whole community is dealing with it, whether it's somebody that owns a business, whether it's an employee, that this is happening all the time. Statistics are it's, you know, 1 in 9 people over 65 has one of the forms of dementia. And so it's common enough that we need to be aware as employers that it's not only your customers, but maybe also your employees are dealing with some form of this disease.
And I think employers have to take into consideration that if you're worried about employees abusing the system, where if as an employee gets a phone call and all of a sudden they have to bolt, please don't have them give you a long page at that time of why. Let them do that, and then you can come back and talk about it. But you really need to get educated. I talk a lot about on my podcast stuff is you need to know everything going on with all of your employees, every one of them that's underneath you, because you just never know how life's changing. But if they get that phone call, and if you're worried about employees, I would take a look at your employees. Mm-hmm. If you really think they're going to abuse this scenario of, hey, I just got a call, I got to go, mom's either walking, because my mom literally would leave Harvest in a matter of 10 minutes, be across town over by Henning's Fish House in a matter of minutes. And so at that time, especially come winter, rain, colds, especially now coming into this time,